to the start. Coming back to where it all began, Jesus. Coming back to the cross and coming back to the story of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Coming back to that understanding, because so many churches are building their own ideas and doctrines, and they're furthering their own purposes, and they're just doing their own thing, and they're not really preaching the message of the cross. They're not really preaching Jesus is Lord anymore. There's so many out there. And, you know, when Katie and I came here, we were looking for a church. And I'm used to a church just like this one, where the Spirit of God is welcome, where the Holy Spirit has room to move, where when people come in that are sick, they can be prayed for and be healed. When people come in bondage, they can leave set free. I'm used to a place where God is God. And there was a lot of places where we went where that didn't seem to be the case. One guy said, our purpose as a Christian is not to further the kingdom of God, but to study the scripture so that we may know the end times and not miss it like the Jews missed Jesus' first coming. And that blew me away. I was like, are you kidding me? What's the point? God came to earth. Jesus came to earth to redeem us from destruction, to crown us with life, to crown us with compassion, and set us in a place where we would have constant connection with God. And that statement blew me away. I talked to another guy in Toronto. He's a leader in a denomination over there, and he said, you know, we're really trying to reach out to these people and make them feel comfortable. And if we can just dilute the gospel enough so that people will receive it and they'll accept it, and, you know, we want to make Jesus their friend and maybe not so much the judgment side, and we're going to dilute the gospel. But the Word of God says, do not add or subtract from the Word of God. And that blew me away. I was like, God, what is happening to our church? What is happening to our world? There's so many different things happening. And I believe we're supposed to come back to that foundation. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the church. A revolution could also be a group of people united together towards one goal. And this goal that we are to revolutionize, if you will, is to further the kingdom of God by preaching and showing the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible isn't just, or our Christian life isn't just reading the Bible to people. It's about showing the kingdom of God. It's about walking in the power of God. Not just the word of God, but the power that's connected to it. You know, the Bible says that the signs and wonders will follow them that believe. You know, so many people will say that they believe. So many people will call themselves a Christian, which is a Christ follower, but there is no power evident because they've eliminated it. And I'm here today to tell us that it's not eliminated. It's not for it's for us to have. It's for us to walk in. I believe that our church and as Christians, we are to, like the Bible calls us, to be holy, to be righteous, to be set apart. You know, as Christians, we are special unto God. We are a peculiar people, anointed and blessed. We're called to be healthy, mind, spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that as I read these next few verses that the Holy Spirit was going to stir some things up in our hearts today. I ask that you keep your ears open to hear the Word of God. And when the Word of God is spoken, because it's the Word of God, it changes things. And today I ask that each of us just say, God, teach me something. Lord, make me into your image. Jesus, show me how to walk out this thing called Christianity. And I'm just going to read these verses here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So it's God speaking directly to us. He says, I am holy, so I want you to be holy. And we can do it because he said we can. 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Loving as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love his life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So I'm thankful today that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes and the ears of the Lord are attentive unto our lives. And I want you to know today that it's not up to you to be righteous. It's not up to you to be holy. Jesus, when he came to earth and when he gave his life for us, we were made the righteousness of God at that moment. The time when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, when you asked him to come and forgive your sins, to redeem your life, you were then made righteous at that point. It's not something where you have to work towards. It's not something that every single day you have to read your Bible and pray and witness and do all these things and the do's and don'ts of Christianity. Those aren't the things that make you righteous. That's a works-based righteousness. That's a law-based doctrine. You see, we're not under law anymore, but we're under grace. God came and he sent his son to redeem us from the law. You know, Jesus fulfilled the law. And so now we don't have to make ourselves righteous. We don't have to make ourselves holy or make ourselves acceptable unto God because he already did it. And from that understanding, we can now walk out all the things that he's called us to walk in and out. Here's another scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This one might be a popular one. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, when Jesus forgave us, mercy was extended. And that's so awesome. You know, we were once, our vision was once clouded. We were once in bondage. But now Jesus has set us free. And we can walk as free people. I meet so many people at work. I was just talking to a lady. She's like, well, I don't believe in healing because that's just for special people. Well, yeah, it is. You're right. We are special. Because we've been made righteous unto God. God came down because he loved us so much and made us special. So yes, healing is for today. Prophecy is for today. The moving of the Holy Spirit is for today, for right now. And I just was blown away by her statement. You know, that's just for special people. I don't believe it. She says she's a Christian. God wants to do something in the North Country. Here's another verse. James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And, you know, so many people, when they read that, they're like, yeah, and unspotted from the world, whatever, you know. The main thing is taking care of the orphans and widows. And they leave out that part of being unspotted from the world. You know, so many people think it's all about doing this and taking care of these people and, you know, going to soup kitchens and prayer services and all these things. And all these things are good because they do show forth the love of God and they do enhance the kingdom of God. But if the person is doing it because they think they will become more righteous, it's in the wrong motive. And I'm here to tell you today that we're just here to do it because Jesus did it. And we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Why? Because we are a holy people. We aren't supposed to go out and get dirty. We're not supposed to go and partake of the things that the world partakes of. And I'm thankful to God that He kept me in my younger years. I'm young still, but He kept me unspotted from the world. Yeah, I'm still human and I sinned many, many times, but God kept me from my wife. God kept me from drugs. God kept me from alcohol. God kept me, though all of my friends were doing it, though everybody else was partaking of the lusts of life, I was thankful that God kept me. And I tell you today that it's still possible. Many people will tell you that it's not possible for your kids to stay unspotted from the world, but it is. Because the power of God is real. The only thing that kept me was that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And at those moments where I was tempted intensely, I could call out on God. And He would come down into my situation right then and there. If I was in the football bus or if I was in the middle of class or I was in lunchtime when just the peer pressure is barreling down on me, the Holy Spirit rose up inside of me and gave me all that I needed to stand firm on the rock of Jesus Christ. And He can do that still today because His power is real. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 4 and 7. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but He called us in holiness. So I'm here to tell you guys today that the scripture is full of teachings on how we can keep our vessel, how we can stay tuned to the Spirit of God, that we would be continually sanctified and we would continually honor God and we would continually walk in His holiness and we wouldn't get mixed up in the uncleanness of the various winds of doctrine that are so prevalent today. Because of what Jesus did for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, the kingdom of God is not so much in the word, like I said earlier, but it's in the power of God. It's in the showing and the demonstration of the power of God. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If we are joined to the Spirit of God, if we're plugged into the source on a daily basis, minute by minute basis, the power that is in Christ Jesus will flow through that conduit into us, and then we will be the conduit of his power to the world. Because when we're plugged into the source, it just like you can't turn the light on unless you flip the switch. And you can't flip the switch unless the switch is connected to the power source. And when you plug in to Jesus Christ, when you plug in to the kingdom of God, when you seek first the kingdom of God, then all the other things are going to be added unto you. It's not about seeking, you know, for me when I was growing up, I desperately wanted a wife. I desperately wanted someone that I could be with. And I was overwhelmed with it. I kept looking here and looking there, and I'd pray for my wife, and I would seek people that could be my wife, and I was just running around looking for a girl. And that was wrong of me. And one day God finally showed me. He said, hey, check out Matthew 6, 33, or maybe it's 38, one of them. 33. And that's the scripture that I read. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. And he gave me a picture of a train going down a train track. And, of course, he's leading me down the train track, but I was the main engine, if you will, going down this line. And with my eyes fixed on heaven, the train track going right to heaven, I'm just chugging down, facing the kingdom of God, furthering the kingdom of God, seeking the Lord, seeking his righteousness. And then, click, there's another train car added on. That was my wife. And then click, here's a job, and oh, here's a house, oh, here's a baby, and another baby. And just as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that we would worry about, all the dreams, all the desires of our heart that we just want so desperately, God has them in the palm of his hand. And when we let, if we put them in his hand, then he can do stuff with it. And I thought about the story of Abraham once again, where God had promised him a son, right? He promised him an heir, someone who would pass on his family name. And it took, I think it was 25 years until Isaac came on the scene. And this whole time, Abraham is just seeking God. And besides the one moment where he had a son, Ishmael, he was intently set on that promise. And when that promise finally came, he was ecstatic because God came through with his promise. But then there came a day when God said, hey, I need you to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. And Abraham was willing. And there was a tag phrase in that story where it says, and Abraham accounted everything as good as dead. And I thought about that, and so I said, if he accounted everything as good as dead, then since it was dead to him, God could breathe life upon it. And so I began to just lay down everything that it was in my life, and I accounted it as good as dead. And now God is breathing life upon those dreams because I allowed them to die. Just like a seed can't bear fruit unless it first dies. Then it grows. It's crazy. It's the upside down kingdom. The kingdom of God is the upside down kingdom. In order to live, you must die. And not physically, but to our flesh, right? And praise God, I believe that he's working all these things out. He's culminating all these things together. And he's working inside of each one of us. And he's moving in this church, and he's moving in this area of the North Country, and he's moving in Los Angeles, and he's moving in New York City, and he's moving in Australia, and all over the globe, there is something happening. There's a shaking, and there's a rattling, and there's an undercurrent that's just about to burst the surface. And I believe that God wants to do that through us and in us. But we must understand who we are. We can't know who we are unless we know who he is. And we can't know who he is unless we spend time with him. And so I just have a couple more scriptures, and then there's something else that's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 146, verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And so that speaks to me that each one of us, whether we're young or whether we're old, every single breath that we breathe, it must be to give God glory. It must be to further the kingdom of God. As long as I have breath in my being, I will praise the Lord. Praise him through my actions. Praise him through my words. Praise him through every single second of every single day. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So that in our job places, in our families, in our friends, in our neighborhoods, whatever we do, we must do it for the glory of God. And I've been having a new realization about that, because at Fort Drum, I'm the maintenance man, and as I'm plunging a toilet, I got to do it for the glory of God. Or when I'm caulking a countertop that's cracking, or if I'm rolling in the dirt on this floor that hasn't been swept in months, I'm doing it for the glory of God. And when I have that understanding, when I have that realization that everything that I do, it's for His glory, then it changes the whole outlook. It changes the way I interact with people. It changes everything. And I've been realizing that because now since I look through that lens at Fort Drum, I can actually minister to these people. As you may know, the Army life is really hard. The kids are separated from their dad or separated from their mother. The husbands are separated from their spouses. And it's a hard life. And I'm encountering that face to face every single day. I'm seeing the fruits of a father not in the home or the fruits of a mother not in the home. And I'm seeing the separation causing, you know, the lust of the flesh to take over and adultery happens and the devastation that comes from that. And I know that if I have my eyes fixed on the cross, if I have my eyes fixed on the kingdom of heaven, as I'm plunging in a toilet and I can see these things around me, then God has placed in me the very hope that they need to come out of that situation and to allow Him to work it all out for His good. And it's been fun. You never know what you're going to walk into. When you get into a house, you see your work order, but then the people behind that work order catch your eye. Or their struggle catches your heart. And I've been able to pray with people, and I've been able to counsel them, and I've been able to just be a light and bring God glory. Yeah, I haven't obeyed every single time, but praise God, He's giving me the grace and the mercy, and He continues to give me opportunities. And I pray that I will continue to allow myself to be used in that way. And so must we all. God gives us an opportunity to give Him glory every single day. And I want to read Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. And that fruit is the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus for His will, bringing much glory and praise to God. You see, we've all been saved, I hope, in this room. If you have not been saved, today's your day. If you have not given Jesus Christ full control of your life, today is your day. And once you do that, the fruit that is produced from that relationship, from that salvation, is so awesome. It's so good. It's so wonderful. Because it's holy, because it's anointed, because it's straight from God. You know, I've read scriptures about keeping your vessel and walking in the holiness of God and walking in the righteousness of God and in the power of God and in His excellence, that He may be glorified, that it would be of Him and not of us, that it would be all about Him, all about His kingdom and not about us, that we would die to ourselves, that He would live within us. You know, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. So no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I do not live unto the flesh, but I live unto the Spirit of God. And that's our calling today. And I told the earlier service a story of something that I went through when I was on a missions trip in Haiti. And my wife has heard this probably like 1,000 times now. But I just love it so much. And I was in Haiti on a missions trip, and we were going to a resort, and the girls had to go get flip-flops. So we kind of hopped out of the van, and we're just kind of scanning the crowd and making sure, you know, the girls would be okay. And this crazy guy just started walking up to us out of the blue. He just zeroed in and walked right up to us. And as he walked up to us, he's waving his arms, and he's just, you can see he's decrepit, and he's very skinny and scrawny, and he's very dirty, and, you know, stuff is all over him. And he's swearing at us and cursing our God in English, and he's cursing us and our God in Creole, and he's just speaking gibberish, and his eyes are just so scattered, and he's just right in our face. And my intern director just stared at him eye to eye and said, J.C. Remenu, J.C. Remenu, which means Jesus is Lord in Creole. And he just kept saying that, and the guy walked away and mooned us. And we're like, okay. And he came back a second time into my intern director's face and doing the same things. He's pulling up his pant leg, pointing at his knee, and just cursing us, our God, and our nation, and just totally, obviously possessed of the devil. Like textbook scripture. Like just like Jesus would have written it down, we're seeing it right now in the real time. And he walked away again, and the third time he came back, he was right in my face, like literally right here. And I had a backpack on, so I had my hands like right here in case I had to, you know, strike really quick if anything got ugly. Thank God I didn't have to do that. I've never gotten to do that, so. Anyway. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so he's right in my face. He's cursing my God. He's cursing us. And this time I didn't say a word. I didn't pray. I didn't rebuke the demonic spirit. I didn't start preaching to him. I didn't read the scripture. I didn't do anything but just lock eyes with him. And when I locked my eyes with him, something miraculous happened. And I, as you know, the window to the soul is our eyes. Right? Some many people say the eye of your eye is the window to the soul. And so obviously in his soul was turmoil and chaos and darkness and destruction and depression and all that the kingdom of darkness is. But I tell you, in my soul was the kingdom of heaven and Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of my heart and the throne of my life. And I was totally surrendered to him and he was just moving through me. And as we locked eyes right there in the roadway of the marketplace in Haiti, it was just like a light went on in his eyes. And he dropped down at my feet and said in perfect English, "Jesus is Lord." And I was just like, this is pretty cool. This is, what is going on? I didn't tell him to do that. And so as I'm thinking about it, you know, he got up and he's talking with the different Haitians like he's a normal man again. And he's doing this and doing that. And he walked over to our van and he just began to scribble on the back of our van that was dirty. And, of course, some of our team members were like, oh, we rebuke everything. And he's writing down this and that and the other thing. And just, he better not be cursing us. And God's power is stronger, Jesus' blood and all this stuff. And so we get to the resort and our interpreter reads what was written. And the guy wrote, "Jesus' blood protects this vehicle." I was just like, whoa. He was, just a minute ago, he was cursing our God. He was cursing us, and he was totally possessed. But now he's in his right mind, and now I believe he is set free. And as I begin to talk to my intern director about that, I was like, you know, I think when he was pulling up his pant leg and pointing at his knee, I think he kept saying, "This knee will not bow. This knee will not bow to your God, because your God is this and that." But when the turmoil inside of his soul met the peace of God inside of my soul, just like the scripture says, he couldn't help but bow his knee and confess Jesus as Lord. And that happened. Just like the scripture says, it happened. I didn't have to go and curse the demon because Jesus inside of me calmed the storm inside of him, just like he calmed the wind and the waves. He calmed the storm inside of that man. And I'm here to tell us today that God is calling us to calm the storm in this place. He's calling us to call unto the lost to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. He's calling us to walk out the scripture when Jesus says, "Go you into the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick and see them recover." That's why we're here, and that's why I'm so excited for another church to be planted, because now we can do it in two locations. And praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is calling to us. Each one of us, whether we've done these things before or not, we're called to. You know, the disciples, they were just fishermen and tax collectors, and pretty much the lowlifes of society, because the Bible says that they were untrained men, they're uneducated. So that probably means they, like if we were to look at it in our terms of society, they probably didn't even have their GED, and they were, I don't know, not working, they're on welfare. You know, there are different things, and they were struggling through life, and they were, you know, the people of this earth that some people look down upon. And Jesus is like, hey, you, come follow me. I want to change your life. Hey, you, come follow me. I know you're doing that, and it's all good. You're putting food on your table or whatever, but hey, come with me. I'm going to show you a better way. And so when these 12 people who were the low lives of society came and they spent 3 years with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, their lives were totally changed. One of them walked on water. One of them was transported from one place to the other. One of them was, you know, walking through the town and his shadow healed a sick person on the side of the road. And then many other things kept on happening through these disciples because they plugged in to the source. They plugged in to Jesus and they realized that Jesus was the Son of God and that when they became a believer in Jesus Christ, they were also made a son of God and they could walk as a son of God. The Bible says that the sons of God have complete access to the throne of God. They can walk in everything that heaven has for them to walk in. And so this morning, I believe that, you know, 12 people flip the world upside down. There's more than 12 in this room right now. What could God do through you? What could God do through me? What could God do through all of us? In Richville, in Potsdam, in Madrid, and in Governor, and even in the places in the future that God will have us plant a church and an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. What will God do through your life? If you submit it to him completely and wholly, if you have done it in the past, but you've been lacking in it, or you haven't been walking in all of these things that the scripture says you can walk in, if you haven't had the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life, or even the gifts of the Spirit evident in your life, God can do it in you today, and tomorrow, and the rest of your life. Just need to say, God, here I am. You know, because God anoints most that which is surrendered the most. And so today, I believe that the Holy Spirit is pricking our hearts. There are areas in our lives, you know, I know there's probably something in my life that I haven't had my eyes open to yet that I haven't given to God. But the Holy Spirit right now, I believe, is pricking our hearts and he's showing us just little things here and there that, hey, you know, I could do something with that if you give it to me. And so right now, if we could, let's just close our eyes really quick. And let's just set our eyes, set our minds, set our hearts on God and on his presence. Hallelujah. Let's just look for that thing that he's showing us. It may be that you need to surrender your entire life to him, to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. It could be that you have these desires that are down deep in your soul and you got to give them over to God. Today is the day that you can walk in the fullness of God. Today is the day that you can walk in the supernatural. Today is the day that your faith can move up to the next level of faith. Today, Jesus wants to build line by line and precept upon precept inside of your heart, inside of your mind, and inside of your life. Just surrender that to God. Just give it over to him. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you for the awesome things that you are doing. God, we thank you for the amazing works that are going on around the world. God, we thank you that this earth is groaning with groanings that cannot be uttered, God, for the coming of you, Lord Jesus. And God, I ask that as we are here in this earth, God, as we are here seeking your face, Lord, that you would use us. You would use us not only, God, just to help us be happy and help us feel joy, oh God, but Lord, that you would help us to bring life, to bring wholeness, to bring restitution, oh God, to bring redemption to this world and to our neighbors and to our friends. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that you are increasing this church, that you're causing it to expand. Oh God, and as we move into Governor, help us to walk those streets, oh God. Help us to speak to the mountains in that area, to let them move, oh God. Let us lay our hands on the sick and see them recover, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we go today from this place, let us remember, oh God, what your scripture says, what your word was to us today. That God, you've made us sons, you made us daughters. You've given us access. So Lord, build within us the faith. Build within us your holiness, oh God. And help us realize every single day that you're with us, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, Lord, that even though we could go down in the depths of hell, Lord, you're there with us. Even if we ascend to the highest mountain, Lord, you're there with us. So God, I thank you and I give you praise for all you're doing. And I ask, Lord, that if there is anyone inside of this room that is sick, heal them right now in the name of Jesus. If they're hurting, mend whatever is hurting. Jesus, if they're in need, meet their need, Father. Oh God, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Nathan. Can you give him a hand clap? God bless you. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you, bro.